The convicted murderer of a 3-year-old Bloomington girl, Christina McNeil, still maintains he's not guilty. Barton McNeil is serving a life sentence for killing his daughter, but with the help of the Innocence Project, McNeil is still fighting. Season 2 of the popular true crime podcast Suspect Convictions debuts tomorrow on GLT. Veteran investigative journalist Scott Reeder is teaming with GLT News Director Emeritus Willis Kern to explore the McNeil case. Reeder has been a reporter for 30 years, concentrating on Illinois government for the past 2 decades. Reeder told GLT's John Norton that a little over a year ago, he wanted a new challenge and began writing a book about a murder case he covered 30 years ago. That turned into last season of Suspect Convictions. A listener warning, the following content may be disturbing to some.
The following contains graphic discussions of murder and sexual violence. Listener discretion is advised.
I was the night police reporter for the Quad City Times. I would drive around town in a Quad City Times car with the name of the newspaper emblazoned on the side. And I have two radios. One is a police scanner and the other one is a walkie-talkie. This is the days before cell phones. So I'm riding through downtown Davenport and I hear on the scanner, small fire at a school playground. And I'm thinking, oh, that's nothing, you know. It's probably a trash fire. It wasn't in the greatest neighborhood in the world. And, it was a place where a lot of people would burn their trash in an open lot. So I didn't think anything of it. And the editor gets on the radio. There's a fire at a school. Go check it out. And I'm like, oh, this is stupid, you know. So I drive up there and I get there at the same time as the first police officer. And he's getting out of his car. And we both had the same reaction. Like, this is really stupid. Our bosses have sent us to this thing. And it doesn't amount to anything.
But you found something else.
Yeah, we see the smoke rising from some tall weeds on the edge of the playground. And we just walk over, and I get maybe 2 or 3 feet from the fire, and I look down. And instead of being a trash fire, it is a little girl that's been doused with gasoline and set on fire. And it was the most horrible, awful thing I've seen in my life, and I hope I ever see in my life. I mean, it was just... you could feel the bile rising up in my throat. And like, what on earth have I come across here? This is not what I was expecting at all. And I was just completely horrified. I ended up staying there at the scene with my radio, radioing in details as the medical examiner got there and the detectives got there. And I was radioing in information all night long, what's going on at the scene. And it was just bedlam there, and everybody was trying to figure out who did this, and they were hunting all over. There was just enormous pressure on the prosecutors and on the police officers involved in the case to find somebody. About a week later, they arrested a man by the name of Stanley Liggins. He was an African-American man who had just been released from prison in Mississippi. He had been supplying cocaine to the parents of Jennifer. So he was in and out of the home regularly. But there really wasn't much evidence against him at the time of the arrest. In fact, I asked the prosecutor at the time, I go, did you think he had enough evidence? And he goes, well, here's what I did, Scott. I went out to my office and all my other attorneys who were veteran prosecutors, and I said, do we have enough evidence to charge this guy? And they said, almost universally, no. He said, but I don't answer to the lawyers in my office who work for me. I answer to the voters of Scott County, Iowa. And I felt like this guy was a danger, and we needed to get him off the streets, so we had him charged.
We're talking with investigative journalist Scott Reeder. He's working with retired GLT news director Willis Kern on Suspect Convictions. It's a series of podcasts you will hear soon here on 89.1. Well, I'm going to fast forward you here just a little bit, okay?
Okay.
So, this guy ended up getting convicted.
He ended up getting convicted.
He ended up getting retried again later, correct?
He got tried again.
And you were covering all of this.
I was covering some of this, yes. And turns out I started doing some digging when I'm working on this book and I'm working on the podcast. The woman who'd come forward, this was never revealed to the defense or anyone, the jurors or anyone in the case, and the prosecutor said they didn't even know this, had been a paid police informant in 83 other cases.
Oh my.
Involving the detective that was the head detective in this case.
I'm going to try to get the timeline here. So all that stuff was going on back when you were reporting the
news
in the newspaper.
But it never was.
Now we're fast forwarding 30 years,
and we're finding this stuff out. And
so you're writing a book about this now because you wanted to go back. Why did you want to go back to the trial and case you were covering 30 years ago?
Because it was such a bizarre case.
Was it?
And I always was skeptical whether there was enough evidence to prosecute this guy.
It had been gnawing at you for that long?
It had been gnawing on me this long.
Well, now you're working on a new podcast.
Yes, I am.
A new series podcast with retired WGLT News director Willis Kern. It's a second season of Suspect Convictions. How did you get involved with WGLT on this now?
One of the things I did is I had experienced defense attorneys review some of the evidence from the first season. I mean, just so they could give their input in it and see if they thought he got a fair shake or not. Hmm. And I got to know some of the defense attorneys with the Innocence Project in Springfield. And I said, you know, I'm looking for a case for the second season. Is there anyone in particular that you think is worthy of looking at? You've got to look at the Barton McNeil case out of Bloomington. It's a case involving a young man at the time who was an assistant manager at Red Lobster here in town. He was accused of murdering his 3-year-old daughter. Trust me, there's lots and lots of twists and turns in this case. To make a long story short, the alternate suspect that he kept trying to present and the judge kept refusing to allow his attorney to present in the trial, it was his girlfriend, Masook Nolan. 10 years pass after Bart is convicted and sent off to a maximum security prison, and she kills her mother-in-law. She married after Bart was sent away, and her husband was filing for divorce. So her response is, I'm going to get even with you by killing the person you love the most. So she strangles her mother-in-law after luring her in from Chicago to Bloomington, hides the body in her sewing shop, ends up burying her 90 miles away near Joliet, Illinois. I mean, it was a bizarre case, but just... Well, they're saying, hey, she killed somebody else.
Yeah.
This is who we said did it all along, and you wouldn't let us present her as an alternate suspect. Look at her now.
Did you seek out GLT after that then?
Yes, I called Jay and I go, hey, Jay, you know everybody in the NPR world in Illinois and Iowa. I said, do you know anybody over there at the Bloomington station, WGLT? Yeah, they're great. They are such an edgy, terrific station.
Edgy.
And the funny thing was their reaction to the pitch I made on this was exactly like Jay's. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Let's get Willis back here and... Well, he'll work as your producer, and you can do reporting, and this will be great. So I've been working on this steady for several months. Some of it laying flat on my back. I've had my ankle reconstructed,
Welcome to the walking world again.
Yes, it's good. My first day without a cast.
You know, it's similar to the killing in Quad Cities that you worked on.
Yes,
in that it's a young girl that was killed. But it's a little bit different because you don't have that emotional attachment from 30 years ago.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm developing one.
Okay.
I mean, I obviously wasn't there like I was for Jennifer's murder. But man, I've been interviewing people involved in the case. I've been going through the crime scene photos. I've looked at the forensic pathologist's testimony. And I'm developing a really vivid image of what has happened here. And I've been kind of emotionally involved. And a lot of people say to me, you know, Scott, well, do you think he did it or you don't think he did it? Well, I really don't know. I'm trying very hard to remain objective in this case.
Is it hard to remain objective when you're emotionally involved like that?
No. I think the emotion gives passion to the story. Okay. The best reporting involves passion behind it. I'm trying very hard to be fair and look at it from both sides. I've sat down with the prosecutors in the case. I've sat down with the defense attorneys.
You've had a lot of cooperation.
A lot of cooperation. Bloomington police, not so much. But, you know, in fairness to them, this was something that happened more than 20 years ago. Most of the cops that worked the case have moved on and retired. And, you know, even those that are there, you're asking a lot for them to remember the details on a case that happened a couple decades ago. So we're digging real hard. We've developed a lot of stuff for enough number of episodes. I'm anticipating there's going to be some motions filed in court this fall by the attorneys for Barton McNeil.
Because?
Because they think there's new evidence that points towards actual innocence.
Stuff that you've uncovered?
I wouldn't say that in this case. I mean, the stuff that I found and we discussed and done those sort of things, it hasn't been as much digging as I have. I mean, I guess I haven't uncovered the same things I did in the first season, but we found some other things that I think are just as intriguing. And, you know, I've gone down to the prison and interviewed Bart and just offside of his cell block. Bernard is the scariest place, I think, in Illinois. I've interviewed the prosecutors, the defense attorneys. I've gone through reams and reams and reams of documents to get familiarized with this case. And, you know, yeah, I'm very excited about it. I think our listeners are going to be thrilled with what they hear. I mean, it's a riveting case. And then whether you're listening on WGLT or you're tuning in to Suspect Convictions on iTunes or on Stitcher or some of the other platforms out there for podcasts, I think you're going to find this to be a really fascinating case.
Well, Scott Reeder, your passion is coming through loud and clear. I'm looking forward to hearing this case on Suspect Convictions. Thanks for your time. Good luck to you. As we're speaking, you're barely got an episode or two ready to go, so good luck on the whole series.
Okay, thank you. I'm excited.
Veteran investigative journalist Scott Reeder speaking with GLT's John Norton. Season 2 of Suspect Convictions debuts tomorrow at noon. Each episode of Suspect Convictions will be broadcast during GLT's Sound Ideas every Friday at noon and 6 p.m. The podcast will also be available through popular apps, including Apple iTunes and Stitcher, every episode. And additional materials will first be available at WGLT.org. You're listening to Sound Ideas.